For the moment of silence for the still sick and suffering addicts in Narcotics Anonymous, please. Serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thank you. So as I said, there's one speaker for today. Her name is Rhonda. And I'd like to welcome Rhonda to the stage.
Get you a pair, David.
I know. Love them.
For a small fee, you can have them. I'm just going to hold this because I'm not going to be able to stand still anyway. I'm talking with my hands. I'm Rhonda. I'm an addict.
Hey, Rhonda!
And I'm very, very nervous. I love service work, and thank y'all for putting this on, but it's been about a decade since I've done this. So I might be a little of this and a little of that, but my sponsor told me to make sure y'all know I'm here to reach one person, and if that one person could raise their hand, we'll just go over here and talk, and y'all can go to lunch. It didn't work, Tracy. Okay, well, my clean date is August 25th, 2019. I've actually been in the room since May 16th of 2006. And the reason I know that date is because I've struggled. I've struggled since May 2006. It wasn't until I got my new sponsor, Tracy, which is the best one in the room. I don't care what y'all say. And it wasn't until then when I got her and I started really working on me and really applying steps, traditions, concepts, anything that this program has to offer, that really kicked with me, you know? I don't struggle with the using part, hardly ever. You know, of course, I still have a using dream here or there, whatever, but for the most part, it's that 99% Rhonda that I struggle with. You know, our using is just a symptom of our disease. I grew up in Arab, Alabama, God's country.
Right.
We got running water last week. Still use the outhouse though, but here we are. You know, it's all good. We moved there from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. My dad was a pipe fitter. Oh, wait, a sprinkler fitter. He'd have come apart if I called him a pipe fitter. Mm-hmm. And my mother was a computer engineer. I grew up in a good home, you know. I got the latest fashions. I was a two-sport athlete in high school. I was voted most athletic, most versatile, most popular. Graduated in the top 10% of my class. I have a college degree, and I'm just as big an addict as the rest of them.
Yeah.
It's not what gets us here. It's that we're here.
Yes.
You're going to have to bear with me. My heart's racing. And then I drank a Red Bull. I feel like I can run up and down this aisle telling y'all what's going on in the world. But for those of you that this is your first convention, welcome. For those of you that this is your 50th, welcome. Thank you to everybody that's putting this on. My ideal recovery is to wake up every morning and be able to look at myself in the mirror and be okay with me. And in order to get there, you have to work steps, you have to work traditions, you have to work concepts, you have to call a sponsor, you have to do something different. Now, if that means put your left shoe on instead of your right in the very beginning, do that. Change everything. When I got here and they said, "You got to change everything," I was thinking, "Oh yeah, I'm going to get to go shop. I'm busting new clothes. I'm going to get this fine ass body." Doesn't work that way. I'm going to get the car, the boat, the home, the girlfriend. Hey, I got the girlfriend, but let me tell you what a relationship would do to you in recovery. Woo, doggy. It will test it.
Yes.
It will test it. And there are a lot of great relationships in recovery. They are. But when I got here, back to that, and they said you had to change everything, I actually thought that I needed to hide the fact that I was gay. When they asked me to speak today, I didn't want to come in here and push the gay issue because it doesn't define me. I'm Rhonda. I'm not gay Rhonda. I'm not Bull Dyke Rhonda. And y'all are just who you are too. I don't care what your sexuality is. I don't care what gender you identify with. I don't care if you sleep with three people every night. I could care less what you do. Tell me how you recover. Let's all be inclusive together, not exclusive. Because there are a lot of people in this room, well, probably not a lot of people, because I see a lot of new faces, but I'm sure there are people in this room who have been judged in the rooms because they're gay. I have not. I'm grateful, though. I've never had a problem in the rooms because I was gay. Never. Now, the girlfriend I had in the rooms had a problem because I was gay in the rooms, but the people didn't treat me any differently recovery-wise. And the whole purpose of starting these special meetings is because there are people out there that have experienced people being judgmental. And this is a we program. It doesn't say we straight people, we gay people, we this, we that. It just says we. And we are all the same addicts. Addicts, addicts, addicts. So how do we recover? How do we get people in the doors who are not coming in because they are afraid of being judged? That's when special meetings are formed like this. This is considered a special meeting through World Services.
Right.
Yes. Right.
Okay, this is not just something they've thrown together. This had to be approved through World Services. They have guidelines they have to go through in order to have their meetings on the weekly. Rainbow Rocket Recovery on Zoom is my home group at this time. But in reality, I can go to OM&M, which is here in Decatur. I can go to Air Group, which is in Huntsville. Survival, Point of Freedom, Real Hope. I don't care where it is. They're all my home groups. That's the reason I don't really give a shit about the whole LBG. And I'm going to tell you I'm gay, and I don't know all them fucking letters. Jesus, who came up with that shit? I know I'm L, okay, because I'm a lesbian. And I'm G, because I'm gay. I don't even know what the plus means. But guess what? Who gives a shit?
For real.
You know? Who gives? I could care less. And 99% of my friends are straight, but they're also in recovery. And they will all tell you, I don't like gay people. I don't like gay people. But I'm a gay girl, I can say that. Y'all better not say it. And anyway, back to recovery. Y'all, I went through a bad breakup, okay? And I blamed with that. She did this. She kept getting high. And the only reason I kept relapsing was because I was with her. You know, like somebody had some kind of superpower control over my emotions and my actions and my choices. And I had to get really gut-wrenching honest with that lady right there. And I had to look at my part. And that's what this program teaches me. It teaches me that it doesn't matter what you do to me, it's how I react to you. Mm-hmm. And my reactions are my choices. They're my responsibility. I don't care who your husband, wife, partner, whatever the fuck you want to call them, I don't care what they do to you, supposedly do to you, you play a part in that. And if you can't learn to look at your part in it, you're going to stay sick, you're going to always be at relapse mode, and you're never going to move forward in your life. And today I can honestly say that I let it all go. I did. I let it all go, and guess what? It was a very toxic relationship. But let me tell you my part in it. 50% of it was me. I was toxic too. You set out to save the individual because they struggle a little more than you, or you set out to make the individual feel like the most important person in the world because they never got that growing up. And then you end up high with them anyway. And so what do? You blame them. You know, if you didn't have such a shitty childhood, maybe I wouldn't overwork this relationship Or if you quit using, maybe I wouldn't have to use, so I put up your crazy act. This bitch used to put out fire-safe cigarettes in her coffee in the morning and say, goddamn fire-safe cigarettes! No, the liquid put it out. Doesn't have nothing to do with fire-safe cigarettes. And I had such a problem with that, I would start a fight over it. And then blame her, y'all. And that was me. That was my actions. That was me getting into something I shouldn't. And I don't do that today. And I practice that with my friends. I practice it with my father. I have a mother who has dementia. I've devoted almost a decade of my life to taking care of my mother and father. And I didn't even know for sure if I was going to be able to do this today, even though I committed to it, because at any time anything can happen. I'm watching my mother disappear in front of my eyes, and I'm doing it clean. It's tough.
Yes.
And then I'm living with a man for the first time in my adult life, and y'all are pigs! Not all men. Not all. Not all of you. But my redneck backwoods Teflon born dad that I love with everything in my heart won't even pick up the paper he drops on the floor himself, his shit he drops, he doesn't pick up. I used to call my friend Coco right here, who is a rock in my life, and I would gripe about him, and I would just, it would just drive me crazy. But this program, y'all, has allowed me to live with a man and be happy for once. And I'd never done that. And he still didn't pick up his shit. But I love him, and I don't care that he doesn't pick it up. I'm grateful that I get to spend that time with him. And I'm grateful that living with him is teaching me how to live with another human being. Now, I'm single, and I want to be single.
Come on.
I do.
Yes.
I like single life. I can buy the nicest shit. I can eat anywhere I want to eat. And I don't have somebody saying, what do you want to eat? What do you want to eat? What do you want to eat? I need to get my nails done. I don't have none of that. I love my single life, but it's actually not for that reason. I love it because I've got to work on me during all this. And I've worked really, really, really hard on Ron.
Yes.
Really hard. I was one of those people that I would pick up the phone and I would call Greg or Coco or Tracy or numerous people in this room, and I would start off bitching about something, about how this other person or this situation was controlling my life, or I was so mad about this. And you can ask any of them. Now I may do that, but they know they're also going to get a text right behind it, and it'll be about my fear. It'll be about my part in it. It'll be about, that has nothing to do with what I just told you. I'm not working on me. Because it's about me. Yes, this is a we program, but if y'all don't work on you in this we program with the help of your sponsors and your people in your network, you're never going to grow. And some people are like, oh, I get so sick of hearing that word grow. That is vital to being clean. If you do not grow, you do not find a higher power, God of your understanding, what, I don't care what you want to call it, unicorn, whatever. If you do not get a relationship with that person, thing, object, whatever, you do not grow, you do not look at yourself, you do not actively, every day, get up and thank that higher power for another day of breath, your life is never going to get any better. Never. I don't care how many times you work the steps, if you do not get honest, you do not, and listen, I can tell you some shit I've done out in active addiction. I was not a nice person. Luckily, I didn't kill anyone that I know of. I stole. There's a lot of things that I didn't do, though. But the only reason I didn't do it, y'all, is because it's that word yet. You know, I just wasn't out there long enough to do it yet. But today, I don't have to do none of that. But do I have the nice house? No. I'm taking care of my mom and dad. Do I have a nice car? No, I drove up in a 1997 Ford truck. You know, I want a fucking boat so bad I'd like to steal one. But recovery won't let me. I'm like, damn, what can I do? Well, what I can do is pray about it. What I can do is work towards saving the money to get that boat. What I can do about not having a home is really I can't worry about that because I'm powerless right now. I'm going through a lot of dental work. I've had to apply for disability. I have osteoporosis. I'm taking care of a father with diabetes, a heart problem. He sprung his ankle and is in a boot right now. My mother has dementia. She just fell out of the damn bed. We had asked for rails and they didn't bring them to us. My dad's hollering, oh, lawsuit this, lawsuit that, and I'm hollering, what did we do to avoid that? Where were we when that happened? What was our part in that? And he's like, you shove your NNA up your ass. Because I live this program, y'all. I live it to my father, I live it to my friends, I live it to people on the street, because it saved my life. And it can save every one of yours. But you got to learn to let go. You got to be willing and you got to trust the God of your understanding. If not, you're fucked, bottom line. And I'm tired of talking. I can say this. I'm here. I know a lot of people here. Anybody who feels uncomfortable because you're gay and you don't want to walk up and talk to this person, or if anybody has said anything to you, it's probably because they just really don't know you. They really don't give a shit. Hell, they may even want you themselves, you know. Come find me. I'll talk to you. You can talk to me about anything. I'll talk to you. Get phone numbers. Get to know people. Walk up to perfect strangers and say, hey, I'm Rhonda. What's your name? You don't necessarily, I hate that hugging shit too. Woo! I don't like it either, but we do it. You know, I do it just like y'all do. Walk up and hook somebody's neck. You might save somebody's life today just by being nice, and somebody might save yours by allowing them to be nice to you. But in the meantime, who's talked to their sponsor today? Everybody's hand that didn't go up, call your fucking sponsor. Mine's in the audience. I'm grateful for mine, and I'm sure y'all are yours. And I appreciate this. This was a last minute thing for me. I haven't done it, like I say, in a decade. I hope I didn't bore you too much. And I know I've talked in a lot of different areas, but you know, my life's not easy, but I do it every day clean. I do it every night clean. I get up and I thank God, even though I'm so sick of the fucking dental work, and you can ask my friends, I bring it up all the time because it's driving me crazy, but my health has got to be a certain yada, yada, yada. I still get up and thank God that I got what I got.
Yes.
You know? Because it could be worse. I could be in constant pain. I could be in a position that could fix it. I get up every morning and I thank God for my friend Coco and my friend Mark and my little sponsee, Scuba Steve! And my sponsor, Tracy. I get up and I thank God for Greg, for everybody. And I mainly get up and thank God for giving me an opportunity to live another day clean, just for today. I love everybody. I hope y'all are having fun. Stick around. There's a great, Vito is going to rock the house tonight.
Yes.
He has some more of a message. And I love everybody. Thank y'all. Love you.
Rhonda, thank you very much. What I'd like to do, because we still have about 30 minutes, and then we can shut down so they can open up for the next meeting. First of all, Rhonda, thank you again very much for what you had to say. As I look out at this crowd, I remember the first time that we had an LGBTQ meeting here, and there must have been about six of us. So I want to thank everyone that came out. But more importantly, everyone that's in here is not gay. And that's very important that we're working the how of the program.
That's right.
We're honest, open-minded, and most importantly, willing.
Yes.
With that said, if anyone would like to come up and share briefly, we'd like to welcome you.
Does she know about anything?
Okay.
Except what you did last night.
Okay. I can share that too. I'm here nomadic.
It's all.
I'm here nomadic. Okay.
Yeah, it's all. I'm grateful to be here alive and clean, grateful to the rooms, grateful to the rooms and all cars and all. Grateful to that bitch right there, David. Because I remember coming here over 25 years ago, and I came to registration, and I said, I like the register, and he said, excuse me, because I got, like what she was just talking about, this, I just got these new teethuses. Got these new teethuses, and it's taking me time to get used to them. And it take a while, you know. And like she said, it took a minute because it cost, and I thank God for this program, because I had saved money. I had credit that I could pay $3,000 extra after insurance for this. Yes. And that's awesome, because when I got here, I ain't have shit. Yes. You know, and I'm grateful for that, you know, grateful for my life today, you know. But when I came here 25 years ago, I met David, like I said, registration. And when I walked up, he said, hey, sister. And I told him I wasn't none of his motherfucking sister. And today,
you're still his sister.
I'm still his sister. Because that's how we talk to each other. We don't call each other names. I say, hey, sister, how you doing today? You know, and today I love him so dearly, y'all. He's been helping me so much. This program helped, you know, but he planted the seed that day when I walked in here, you know. And this program is so awesome because we've been talking every day for, I know, 33 years, you know. And I'm so grateful to this process, you know. I've been around 33 years. And it dawned on me last Sunday when I went to my home group. I looked at the board with the anniversaries on, and then I realized that on the 11th of this month, I have 34 years, you know. But the most important thing, all I got is today when I got up out of that bed up in the hotel room this morning and got on my knees and thank God for touching me this morning and waking me up. My high power, you know. And I'm grateful that I do that every day of my life, you know. I'm grateful to Narcotics Anonymous, you know. And I'm grateful to this because many years ago, ain't no way in hell I would have got up here and doing what I'm doing now. You know, because of the shame, remorse, and all that other stuff. And I'm okay, you know, and it ain't crazy. It is what it is. I know who I am because of God and this program and working the self and sponsorship and all of that. And I honestly, really, I don't give a F what nobody else think about me because I love me. Right. You know, and that's what I got up in here. I mean, that's what I got right here, up in these rooms. Yeah. You know, and that man that pushed me over there. You know, I love him dearly because I met him when I came here 30-some years ago. You know, when I started coming 25 years ago when I came here, I met that guy. And like you just said, he ain't gay, but he love us. He love me. I know that. You know, and that's cool. Yeah. You know, he loved me from the first day I walked, the first day I met him. You know. So I'm going to keep coming back no matter where I go, and I'm grateful to this convention. You know, I've been coming here forever. You know, I'm grateful to God, you know, for giving me the ability, you know, and the wisdom to keep coming back. You know, and all I had to do, I mean, since I've been here, all I had to do is pick up one chip, one white chip. You know, if you got the gate, I'm so thankful that I got this day. You know, I'm just so thankful to get up here. Love y'all.
Thank you.
How are you?
I'm well, nervous.
Well, don't be nervous.
Well, hi, I'm Hunter. I'm an addict. So I got here about 7.5 months ago. And so being from the area where I'm from, I'm kind of A, the youngest, and B, the only gay person that sits in my home group.
Cool.
But when I got here and I saw that there was an LGBTQ meeting, I was really happy to see that behind it, tagged on it, was everyone's invited. Because one thing that I've noticed, there are some meetings in my area, they're not of our fellowship, but they are exclusively LGBTQ.
Right.
But with our, I believe it's our 11th tradition, putting principles before personalities.
Right.
You know, that really speaks out to me. When I first got here, I didn't know my worth. I thought because of a lot of the ways that we get treated, I was nothing more than a conversation that someone could have because they wanted something like my body. And getting here, working the steps, I'm currently on step 4, so I'm looking at like a lot of my issues. And I'm learning my worth, because not only am I putting out my part into the situations that I've been through, my resentments, my fears, I'm also looking at my assets through them. And that's opening up my eyes to see my worth. And so if you're here and you feel like you have no worth, keep coming back. We need you here. Yeah. You'll find it eventually.
Absolutely.
I only wish I was that young when I came here. Anyone else?
My name's David, and I'm an addict.
I love each and every one of y'all.
We love you.
And I am so grateful you're here, because this is awesome. You know, when we started this meeting, it was in my room. My suite.
Get out.
And that's the first meeting we had, and it was 7 or 8 there. And we all cried together. Because, you know, a lot of us have been through a lot of child abuse. A lot of people hating us. A lot of people beating us up. But today we can love each other and grow. And we don't have to judge each other anymore. And I've got friends on straight, gay, and I'm good with that. And I love them today. They're my friends. Do you know, when I first got here in Narcotics Anonymous, I was raped when I was 9 years old. I was an incest survivor of my 2 brothers. And I had a hard time. Hard to trust anybody. They said, treat me like your brother. Hell, I fucked my brothers. So I couldn't do that. It took me a long time to be okay with it. I went through therapy for 2 years. And y'all, ain't nothing wrong with therapy. I love my psychiatrist. And I loved him so much, I had to quit him 10 years later because I really wanted to go to bed. And I don't know how that happened. I guess he was so loving and inviting. I said, God, I gotta have this man. So I found out one thing. I paid that guy $80 a week to go to therapy. And all I got to do is put a dollar in the basket to come here and do therapy. And you know what? I said, it's a lot cheaper to go to Narcotics Anonymous than it is to go to therapy. So that's what I did. I have been through 9 sponsors. A lot of them had died. A lot of them has gone to prison. Because, you know, my picker's broke. They always say, pick the ones you don't like. Well, my picker was broke. I got one that was a rapist. I got one that raped his children. I mean, my picker was broke. And I finally got, I started getting gay sponsors. And they were older than me. And one of my sponsors taught me, he would always say, David, I love you, and so does God. And he'd always tell me, because I knew my dad was going to die. And I told him I'd probably go out and use. And he said, David, living and dying is God's business. We have no control over that. He said, you have to accept what God gives us. And you have to accept that. And he would tell me that those 2 things every time before he would hang up for me. And he'd like to kill me when he died. Because he was my sponsor for 16 years. He was a good man. I didn't want to cry. Shit. I love y'all. Thanks for coming.
Thanks. Rhonda brought up something that made me think of something else. When she was talking about the boat, she wants a boat. Short little story here. Before I got clean, I lived in a fantasy world, and I wanted a boat, a Lamborghini, a mansion on a hill with horses, and I wanted to keep smoking crack. So I just need to share that with you. Anyone else? With anyone else?
Hi, y'all. I'm Tim, and I'm an addict.
Hey,
I'm not gay. But this issue has been an issue for me most of my life. And a lot of it has to do with growing up in an abusive place. You know, my abusers were all men. And it started at the age of 2 years old. And I can tell you, I can probably give as good of a blowjob as anybody in here.
All right.
But growing up, I didn't know what I was. You know, I had no clue. And when I got here in Narcotics Anonymous at the age of 20, I still didn't know. I was terrified. If anybody was gay, you were a threat to me. If a man showed me any type of attention, you were a threat to me. Because I didn't know who I was. And what I've come to find out after being here is that we all struggle with our own identifications of whatever it is. And I've learned that my sexual orientation does not define me. I don't want to be defined off of something that's only a small part of my existence. I've learned that my existence is so much bigger. You know, I would rather hang my hat on being a good father, or being a good sponsor, being a good friend, participating with my God and doing my part to show that my God, that I love my God. And these other things, for me, they are important, but I don't want them to define me. And I guess the message I'm trying to make is that if you do identify as gay, let that be in its own place and not allow it to, for me, as a straight person, I don't run around and tell people I'm a straight person. And it's always hurt me that I feel like when gay people come to a meeting, they have to tell people I'm a gay person in order to feel like they're accepted. And I just think that's sad. I mean, we're all here. This disease doesn't give a shit who we lay down with. It really doesn't. It doesn't give a crap whether or not we've had abuse in the past or not. It doesn't care. And the love that I found here, I mean, there's things that I've had to come in and talk about in Narcotics Anonymous and to sponsorship that were just totally embarrassing, fearful. There's some things that I did that I was afraid I'd go to jail for. I mean, in my act of using, I planned a rape and a murder. So I don't want to be defined off of those things. I would rather be defined off of who I am today and the work that I've done today and the person I am today. So if you're struggling with whatever it is that you're struggling with or whatever your identification is, just know here, we all are going to have the opportunity to find the exact same thing, and that's the freedom from this act of addiction that we have. And if you're still homophobic and you're still afraid, probably have some issues you need to take a peek at. You know? I love y'all. Thanks.
Thank you very much. It's wonderful for you.
My name's Philip Amatic, and I'm definitely scared as hell up here.
But I just needed to say something. When I was younger, my father was in a very religious background, and took me a long time to figure out who I was and what I was. And my father was very verbally and physically abusive to me, but not my brother, because I was different from everybody in the family. And when I finally found out that I was gay, he told me several times, he said, "I don't have gay children, so you're not my son," even though I looked just like him. And it took me a long time. And then when I got to using, I used a lot of drugs because of him. He was the only reason why I used, because I just had to get rid of him in my mind. And then when I got clean, my mother was the only one, when I was in jail for a while, my mother was the only one that still talked to me. My whole family disowned me. And so I've always been a mama's boy anyway. And anyway, Daddy never did really come to grips with anything with me. But when I got clean, the first time, I was in jail for a while when I got clean, first time I celebrated was 18 months clean. And he gave me a hug and said, "I'm proud of you." So I stayed clean. He passed away when I had 9 years clean. And I stayed clean just so he could hug me and tell me he was proud of me. And that was a big thing for me. And through this program, working steps and stuff, I was able to go to his funeral and feel the pain. And when it was all over with, my mother couldn't do it. My siblings had other things to do, so I had to go back and clean his closet out. And I don't know if people really know what I'm talking about, but you know, everybody has that certain scent. And I opened up his closet and I could smell him, and I broke down. I mean, I laid on the floor and cried for hours. And I never, ever would have thought I'd cry for that man because of the way he treated me. And today I think about him every day. And I wish he could see me as a 58-year-old gay man. You know, I'm happy where I am. I've got friends, and I've got my N.A. wife that lives in my house with me. As if people have said. So, you know, I was just going to say, you know, I just had problems with family, and I got a lot of clean time now, and I'm happy to be here. I'm glad everybody else is here.
Glad you're here. We have about 10 minutes remaining. Thank you.
My name's Linda. I'm an addict. And yes, Philip, there's something about this stage that just makes your whole guts do this.
Yes.
So while I let God take over, I'm going to speak to this man for a minute. I know all about them false teeth. They are expensive. So, David, if mine goes flying out, catch them, because I can't afford them out there. You know, when I first got clean, it was bored into me that there is no such thing as a dumb question if you don't know the answer. This is my first meeting to come into, but I wanted to see what it was about. And I just have a couple of questions because, you know, back when I got clean in 95, you know, there were some staunch old-timers in this meeting that would just as soon tell you, y'all know what they tell you. And so I remember one time we tried to start a women's meeting because I understand everybody has issues that they need to talk about. Yes. If you ask the question, I'm probably sure there's not one person in this room that wasn't raped when they were young. Yes. I also, too, am a survivor of incest of my brother.
Yes.
So, you know we're all the same on that basis. And so and they told us we couldn't have a women's meeting because it would not be Narcotics Anonymous.
Yes, it will.
Because our literature tells us we look for the similarities and not the differences. So I just have a couple of questions. Well, probably about four or five, but I want to know, you know, is this an entity of Narcotics Anonymous? kind of like Narcan. Do you consider yourself a Narcotics Anonymous meeting? And if somebody can answer me, but I would like for it to be somebody with a working knowledge of the steps. And also, I would like to say, if we didn't make you feel loved, I'm sorry. If we didn't make you feel accepted, I'm sorry. And if we didn't make you feel safe, I am so sorry. Because we are all addicts. It don't matter if we're white, black, gray, gay, straight. I'm not gay. Don't mean I ain't played. I did use drugs for 30 years.
All right, girl, tell it. Tell it.
But, you know, if we never made you feel accepted, I'm sorry. Because like I said, whether they're white, black, gray, gay, straight, whatever. When we die out there from this fucking disease, they're going to drain the same red blood out of all of us.
Yes.
So that's just what I... If somebody wants to explain it to me, I'll listen. You know, I'm not prejudiced in any fact, way, shape, or form. And I love everybody. So if you need a hug because you didn't feel safe or accepted, come see me. I'll give you a good one.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That question is a hot button within the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous, and we probably cannot answer that in the short time that we have. And it also kind of depends, because I'm from Michigan originally, it depends on the area. I've traveled throughout the United States, and some areas say, oh yeah, you can have an LGBTQ meeting, a women's meeting, a man's meeting, a tramp and whores meeting. So, and don't forget the gypsies. But so we'll just walk up to any of us that you may feel to ask that question, and I'm sure people will be happy to answer it for you. We have one more speaker.
Hey, I'm Tracy. I'm an addict.
Hey, Tracy!
Oh, wow. Like, when I got up, I was like, okay, all right, I'm gonna go speak. I'm going to go say something. And as I walked around the back and I seen how many people was up here, I'm like, I think I'm going to sit back down. But instead, I walked through it and I decided to come on stage. I was at that first meeting in your room. There was a handful of us. And I walked into this just a minute ago, and I said, damn, I think I'm in the wrong room. There's so many in here. Oh my God, that's amazing. I don't necessarily announce that I'm a lesbian. Most everybody can just look at me and tell. I just say, hey, I'm Tracy and I'm an addict. What I found in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous is I found freedom from active addiction.
Yes.
I've had freedom for right about 11 years. I just celebrated 11 years back in the day. My story, I personally had to pick up more than one key tag, but, you know, that's neither here or there. I'm kind of nervous, ain't I? I kind of have the same story as Philip. Me and Philip share the same home group, and I met Philip, well, probably about 13 years ago, I guess, of Surrender. I'm like, oh my God, I love how he's so free, you know. What I found in rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, not just freedom from active addiction, but I was able to find myself. I came out in the rooms. My dad told me when I was 17, if I was gay, then I wasn't his daughter, so I lived a lie for a very long time. I lived a lie, I got a husband, I had the children, so I thought that would fix me, because something was wrong with me, I was broken. Or at least that's what my dad and my family said, according to their literature. My mother was the only one who accepted me for exactly who I was and gave me unconditional love. Today is her heavenly birthday. Should have been 76 today. Happy birthday, Lola. But I came to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, and y'all loved me for exactly who I was. I didn't have judgment. That's not my story. I found nothing but love. My sponsor told me that she believed in me, and eventually I believed her that she believed in me. And through that, I'm able to be comfortable in my own skin. I do, however, announce that I'm a lesbian in meetings sometimes, and that I'm grateful for Narcotics Anonymous because I don't have to suck dick anymore.
Three minutes to talk about a lifetime. I just wanted to say that that when I got clean in 2017, and then came to my first Out of the Darkness in 2018, and it was in David's room that we met for that very first time, and we decided the night before we were going to do it that we were going to do it. So we went out there in the office business center, and I typed up some things, and we printed them off, some sheets to pass around to say, we're going to meet in this room at this time on that day. And the fastest we'd put them out, there'd be people go around behind us and throw them away. So that's the truth.
Yeah.
And, you know, why do we have these meetings? We begged to be on the agenda here for years, and we couldn't, but we are.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's not about the bad part. That's about the good part about today. There's all kinds of things about my past I can talk about that are bad. Fuck all that. Fuck all that. Fuck all that. There's plenty today that I'm grateful for. We had that meeting. I talked to my sponsor about it. You know, nobody ever said anything to me about being gay in a meeting. They didn't. But there was people in the room who cried and talked about how they felt uncomfortable and how people were mean to them. And that bothered me. I talked to my sponsor about it. And she said, if it bothers you that much, do something about it. So I talked to David. Talked to World Services. And, you know, for those of you who know me, some of you don't, you know, I worked on my Excel spreadsheets and I printed off all my papers and got all my stuff together and went to the business meeting for our group, for our home group, and said, we want to have an LGBTQ+ meeting here, expecting all kinds of problems, and they voted it in. No problems. So we met every Monday night for 2 years. Every Monday night, and we'd show up, and there'd be people show up who needed us. And that turned into more and more and more. And now we get to reach hundreds of people all the time.
That's right.
Yep.
And so all of that because the seed of trying to see a vision through about growth in Narcotics Anonymous. I'll say this one thing. So one last thing, I promise you. So this helps explain. Someone challenged me about us having an LGBTQ+ meeting. And he was a motherfucker about it. And back then, I didn't have much time cleaning. I was a motherfucker back. Okay? I wouldn't do the same then I did now. But I explained to him, I've seen girls come in from the halfway house with their jeans up to here and their shirts down to here. And I've seen y'all offer them rides. And when they said they gave blowjobs behind dumpsters to get dope, y'all gave them rides and bought them groceries. But you let an 18-year-old boy walk in and say, I gave blowjobs behind the dumpsters for dope, and y'all will fucking talk to them.
Mm.
That's the truth.
Yeah. Yes.
That's the truth. That's why we do this. Because people are dying, and we need to meet their needs. And by God, we're going to meet them.
Thank you. So that concludes this meeting. If we could circle up very quickly, and I would also like to ask if Rhonda would close the meeting out for us.
All righty, let's go.